Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. The Cavil Museum of African American History is likely to have a greater profile in our community after participating in its first First Friday Art Trail. There are big plans in place for the museum and the Roots Historical Arts Council. Please stay tuned. On today's edition of The Front Row, we're at the Roots Historical Arts Council Museum, for better of a word. I'm going to let our guest today, Don Holliday, tell us more about where we are, about the history of this neighborhood and of this building, and what hopes this organization has for this part of Lubbock and for this particular space where we are. Don Holliday, welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
As you and I were just visiting, the area here where we are in this part of Lubbock, tell us a little bit about the background that you were just telling me about.
Well, I would be glad to. Thank you for asking me to share this information. Of course, we're right along Avenue A, and they tell me way back before the interstate, Avenue A was the highway from Amarillo to wherever, I guess, Snyder or Abilene or what have you. And on the west side of Avenue A was what our historian, local historian, who's a member of our Roots Board, Cosby Morton, says was the Flats neighborhood, which was in the days of segregation of the races. That was where all the African American, in those days they called colored, citizens lived. And it was certainly underserved by the city, but it was a unique, kind of a self-contained community. They talk about all the businesses they used to have along Avenue A and on the flats. They had, you know, hotels, restaurants, beauty parlors, of course, and many other things. And one, of course, was the Cavil Pharmacy, which is here on the east side of Avenue A on 17th Street. And this was where Al and Billy Cavil, a husband and wife team, had what's purported to be the first owned by an African-American couple pharmacy in West Texas.
And that's where we are
now. Yeah, that's where we are now.
Yes, okay.
Some years back, they donated this facility to the Lubbock Roots Historical Arts Council, of which I am a part of the board. And since then, we've been working on developing it in as a kind of a cultural center. We're now doing the First Friday Art Trail. And last First Friday, we had well over 100 people here looking at the art exhibits from the two artists that we're featuring right now. And this area, we hope to really be a part of the revitalization of East Lubbock. There's a number of projects in which we're involved, but they talk fondly about the, certainly it's a mixed blessing, but they had a self-contained community where they fostered their own kind of enterprise, you know, and their own identity. And integration and urban renewal, which certainly had many positive elements when it took place in the late 50s and early 60s, also seemed to have the negative element that some of the African-American black-owned businesses were no longer functioning as well as they did before. And part of that is because of zoning. Some of the businesses were in people's homes. Some of the businesses were in buildings in the backyards of people's homes. Some of the places where people lived, unfortunately, weren't up to code. And so Cosby tells me that the city of Lubbock, when they came through and flattened out everything, said, well, don't worry, we're gonna rebuild it. Don't worry about it. And they haven't gotten around to doing that yet. That was only, you know, that was only 50 years ago or more. But this is really an opportunity for, and the various projects that the Roots Council's involved in, is an opportunity to renew the history of East Lubbock, and in doing that, hopefully to reestablish a stronger minority identity in this part of the community. Right. And it's something that I got involved in because I got to know our friend Eric Strong, who was one of the driving forces behind the Roots work. And when he passed away a year and a half ago, if that long, he asked some of us to kind of take on the work, and it's a pleasure to do that. But there's an awful lot of history that's that we're in danger of losing. I just will show you here, Clint, for just a minute. And some of this history we need to do our part. This was some young African American men in the mid-70s, I believe it was, who were reenacting the life of the Buffalo Soldiers, who were one of our U.S. I guess they were cavalry. They all have horses. U.S. forces here in the area, and they were reenacting this. And I know Eric is in there somewhere, but we need to get the pictures and the names. This is one of the things that I just love. Unfortunately, we don't have all the names, but you can sit here with some of our old timers, and they can tell you many, many of these names. I think they told me this was the 50s, and we're going to have a caption here that tells you who many of these people are. But just look at that community resource that's contained in this one picture.
So I love this art that's on the walls. And this, in this case, these are photographs, but they do so much to document what you all are doing here. And as you said, this is a kind of thing that can be lost to history if it's not documented. Something else that's on the wall here is something that many people of a certain age would know, but I have never actually seen something like this. And here I am as a witness to history. It says public swimming pool, white only.
It's a solid, came out of the iron foundry somewhere. You know, this is not a temporary sign.
No,
but there were signs like this around Lubbock. Right. I think our local historians say that this was donated from somewhere in the South. Not a Lubbock. But I'm sure there were plenty of signs like this around Lubbock. In fact, they talk about it.
For someone like me, this is unimaginable. And you know, it's hard to in a way to realize that it actually existed and that it was actually published somewhere.
Public swimming pool, white only. I believe growing up in Hobbs, New Mexico, I believe we had white swimming pools, and then we had another swimming pool, I hope we did, in the southeast corner of town, which was where our African American population lived. At that time, we were segregated.
Well, tell me more about the art that's on the walls here.
I'm Anglo, but I have always felt an affinity for minorities and people who are on the margins. And so I've enjoyed being a part of this group and will continue to be a part of it. But the other night when we had our first Friday Art Trail experience, we had so many of our African American community members who just their spirits were lifted by being here and seeing this art. You know, so much of our media and so much of our art is prepared by people who look like you and me, Clint, you know? A couple of years ago when they had the Oscars and they reminded us that the Oscars were just really white, you know, now we can come to the African American Museum and our African American population can see images of their race and their community, the beauty, the uniqueness, and really have a sense of identity and community as a part of that. We had two artists that we featured, that we're featuring right now. One is a young man named Patrick Quarm. And Patrick's art, it's mostly over there and some over here. Let's see. Patrick is actually a graduate student at Tech, and he's from Africa. He's not from Nigeria. He's from the country next to Nigeria, and I wish I could tell you what it was. But he said the difference in Nigeria and the country where he lives is in Nigeria, everybody's always in a hurry, and in his country, everybody's really laid back. And I said, well, it's sort of like where I'm from New Mexico, where everybody's laid back. So I said, you need to go visit there. But Patrick is a graduate student. This is some of his artwork, Patrick Quarm. And then we also have Alexander Bostic, he's from New York City, but he is at Mississippi State, I believe, as an art professor now. Mm-hmm. And he was here, and he had a New York Yankees cap on. That's why I asked him about it. And this is some of his art paintings, which we are featuring.
And so here we are at, this is Avenue A and 17th Street.
17th Street and Avenue A.
And can people who are interested, they can just come and walk through the museum?
Well, we certainly want that. We're in the process of trying to raise kind of our minimum budget that we need in order to have. We also have an intern, we should say, from Texas Tech who's been working on cataloging and some history. Mm-hmm. But we hope to have some staff, but in order to do that, we're going to have to reach a goal of probably $40,000 or $45,000 a year, where we would have regular hours with a half-time staff person.
I see. Yes.
You know, right. So that's our goal, is to raise enough money on an annual basis where we can keep the museum open for set periods of time. Now it's open by appointment or by contacting. Certainly they can contact me or Shirley Green, who is our director, or Cosby, or Bunny, who is Eric Strong's sister, mm-hmm. and they will make it, we'll be here anytime, at any day. But right now, the main thing that we're doing is having an opportunity on the first Friday from 6 to 9
right.
for people to come
right.
in and see.
Is there
our facility.
Is there contact information or website where people can
yes.
get in touch with
yes.
you? So
yeah,
they could
certainly on Facebook.
Right.
Certainly on Facebook. We also have a web page. There's information on that here. But I would be more than happy to come over and meet anyone anytime to take a tour and visit. But we're working on getting our budget off the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
Don Holliday, thank you.
Okay, you bet,
really
Clint.
Really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you bet.